Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
McDaniel will end it in style. Arkansas is in hog heaven. They've won the first ever national championship.
Still missing your free throws, Wes? Who cares? They don't show free throws in SportsCenter.
Here's Washington. On the drive.
I don't know if he'll make any change, but I figure it's time for me to start playing ball.
And they do it in stunning fashion over the number two team in the country.
Fact is, I missed this shot. I walk away. I'm still a chump.
You're listening to the Halftime Podcast.
Not to worry, folks, because pardon my take of the Barstool Sports Network says they have sources who tell them Kelly Bryant is coming to Arkansas. So let's celebrate the thought of that for a little bit and see what this can do for Razorback football on today, National Kelly Bryant Day, which is also National Cookie Day, which we'll get into later on. Now, Kelly Bryant Day, as we all know, falls on Chad Morris's 50th birthday and the third night of Hanukkah, which, of course, has nothing to do with anything in his decision. Kelly Bryant immediately becomes the de facto starting quarterback for your 2019 Arkansas Razorback. Sure, there's got to be some sort of a competition in the spring and summer, but come on, we all watch this season. Ty Story is a quality backup. Cole Kelly is going to be playing somewhere else. Connor Nolan can focus on baseball. KJ Jefferson can redshirt and be a sponge. Let Kelly Bryant do his thing, which is going to be great for all of us in the talk business because he would take whatever minimal optimism we have for success next season and kick it into slight overdrive. Running the offense that he planned on playing within when he made his initial decision to sign with Clemson back when Chad Morris was recruiting him, Kelly Bryant can put his athleticism on display along with his strong arm and his growth as a quarterback for the NFL scouts, which is why this is a business decision. I've been saying for weeks that I didn't think Arkansas would be the place. But the more I think about it, the more it starts to make sense. There are some weapons returning in Cheyenne O'Grady, LaMichael Petway, Mike Woods, and maybe Rakeem Boyd stays healthy, Devoy Whaley too. Maybe the incoming core of freshman receivers lives up to the hype, and maybe there are some JUCO offensive linemen who can keep him from running for his life, snap after snap. And he'd be the number one rock star in Fayetteville immediately, in a town and a state thirsting for a crack in the clouds after the worst season in Razorback history. At 1 minute after 6 in the evening, Kelly Bryant would be more popular than Asa Hutchinson if he announces that Arkansas is his destination. And they'd build a statue of him on Dixon Street if he quarterbacked the Hogs to just 6 wins and a berth in the Independence Bowl. Then as Bryant rode off into the sunset of the NFL draft, he'd leave behind a stronger program than when he found it, and a locker room full of teammates that are ready to laud him for being one of the building blocks of the program that is now in a new day. It's a nice story, isn't it? I hope it happens, really, for all of us fans, everyone involved on the Arkansas football field, on the sidelines, and for the media who cover the team. You know, we all need a boost this time of the year when we've been busy arguing about all the teams that actually won their games and are planning for the pomp, circumstance, and sponsorship of bowl season. But the team we're all invested in stunk and didn't even look remotely interested or interesting. So this Kelly Bryant Day hopefully is the day that things turn around. This is not the tune I've been singing over the past few weeks. So you'll notice, Ty Richardson, I'm trying to be optimistic instead of my usual skeptical. I'm not usually skeptical about things. But with this Kelly Bryant decision, I've been highly skeptical. I'm trying to be anti-skeptical.
Yeah, you're being optimistic, which is typically we've both been pretty pessimistic down the road with this Arkansas football team. And I think there are, you mentioned the elements that Arkansas could provide to Kelly Bryant, the weapons, the recruiting class, the relationship with Chad Morris. I've said it several times on this show, I think the cons outweigh the pros. And I think he's going to choose Auburn or Missouri that today at 6 o'clock. I just think that there's a lot of indications that would lead me to believe that he is not going to end up an Arkansas Razorback. And then that kind of leads into the next question. Cole Kelly, we mentioned at the very end of our show yesterday, he put out on Twitter that he was transferring out of the program. Where do you go with the quarterback position? Because you could foresee Connor Nolan deciding, hey, I'm a pretty darn good baseball player. I might just go solo on this. Then you're stuck with Ty Story, John Stephen Jones, Jack Lindsey, and K.J. Jefferson, and a true freshman in K.J. Jefferson. So the quarterback situation, if you don't land Kelly Bryant tonight, I'd be surprised if Chad Morris didn't go after a JUCO, a transfer, someone else, just to solidify that position. Because it's not solidified right now if you don't get Kelly Bryant tonight, Phil.
That's right. Well, you know, even if Bryant decides to go elsewhere, and even if Cole Kelly, you know, had decided to stay, I think it would still be a limited quarterback room with what you got going on there. Now let's look to some of the other schools and possible landing spots for Kelly Bryant. There's North Carolina. They've undergone a coaching change now.
Mack Brown.
And it's got, you know, that's probably a brighter landing spot now than when Larry Fedora was there. And Mack Brown, of course, has the track record of success at two programs and worked with Vince Young at Texas and with Colt McCoy. So, I mean, he's got a little bit of the idea that he's bred a couple of NFL quarterbacks. So there's North Carolina. They're also the only team out of the SEC, which does make you wonder about the exposure. And it's, you know, there you'll be in bigger games week after week if you're playing in the SEC. All right, so then there's Auburn. There's Auburn, and the idea that Jared Stidham probably is heading to the NFL draft. I don't think there was anything he did this year that really moved him forward. Now with the stability or lack thereof in the program for Auburn, now they're going to be looking for a new offensive coordinator.
Chip Lindsey out the door.
There's still the idea that, I mean, who knows what happens as far as Gus Malzahn is concerned, even if he is the coach by the time they play in their bowl game.
Yeah.
So I just said there's a lack of stability in the Auburn coaching staff that I think any quarterback who has 1 year to play would not want to be a part of. Okay, so then there's Mississippi State. And, I mean, you saw Nick Fitzgerald took a step backwards this year under Joe Moorhead. And, you know, Moorhead developed some quarterbacks at Penn State, but that was as an offensive coordinator. Things change as a head coach, and there's no two ways about it. Nick Fitzgerald this year was not as good as Nick Fitzgerald the year before. So then there's that. Oh, Missouri. Missouri, to me, still feels like real competition for anybody else as far as the Kelly Bryant sweepstakes are concerned. They've got a little bit coming back. They already have a good offense in place. You mentioned yesterday, I hadn't even thought about that, Derek Dooley with a pro-style offense and a reputation of developing quarterbacks. Certainly he helped develop Drew Locke over the last couple of years. So there's that. I wonder, though, about the idea of it just being Missouri and being a little farther away than where Kelly Bryant's from.
I thought you were going another route with that.
Well, what route do you think I'm going with?
Well, I mean, Arkansans make fun of Missouri just like people make fun of Arkansas.
Yeah, we all need something like that. We all need a foil, you know, to make fun of. There's no doubt. But I even mean in the sense, football at Arkansas is a bigger deal than football in Missouri. You know, you're a statewide celebrity when you're the quarterback of the Razorbacks. They don't even know your name in the biggest cities in Missouri. It's obviously a bigger, you know, a much greater degree of what a celebrity is in those major cities. Missouri's an SEC school, so I mean, maybe that's what it really comes down to. I don't know, but it just is kind of to me. If being the star is the most important thing, then Arkansas would be the landing spot. I think if you're looking to put on your talents as an NFL quarterback prospect, then I think that Missouri might be a better landing spot than Arkansas.
Yeah, and we hadn't touched on this yet. Phil, AL.com is reporting that Jared Stidham is going to enter the NFL draft, so I think that adds another element to possibly help nudge Kelly Bryant toward Auburn. I think he's down. I know the report came out with Kansas City Star that he was down in Missouri and Auburn. I think it's going to be really close neck and neck. Unfortunately, I just don't think Arkansas, even though I respect, part of my take, even though I respect Big Cat and PFT, I think they put that out there just to troll Arkansas fans. That would not surprise me at all. So I honestly think he's going to be down to Auburn and Missouri, which, you know what, I've seen crazier things before happen in college football recruiting, Phil. I mean, heck, Alex Collins' mom took his letter
exactly
of intent when he tried to sign with Arkansas. So
the weirdest thing I'd ever heard of with recruiting.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't 100% rule out anything in the college football spectrum of recruiting, but I'm pretty convinced that he's going to end up at Auburn or Missouri.
Well, we want to know what you have to say about this. You can get a hold of us at 877-377-6963 to get on Halftime. And who has called us here? It is Carl. And Carl is in Lavaca. I hope I'm saying it correctly. How you doing, Carl? What's going on?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Doing great. What do you got? What do you think here about this Kelly Bryant thing?
Oh, man, I'd kill for Kelly Bryant to come here. My only thing is, you know, he's we're still in the conversation. For a team that went 2-10, we're still somewhat in the conversation, which kind of surprises me. As an Arkansas fan, I would be okay with him going to Auburn. There's more national exposure. Like y'all said, Stidham just went pro. But I've been told by someone within the Razorback program that he's going to Missouri. And that's a pretty trustworthy source. And so that, as an Arkansas fan, kind of makes me mad. But when they are putting guys in the NFL like Drew Lock, who might be a top 10 pick, it's kind of hard to turn down. So, and pardon my take, we yesterday just really, like Ty said, just trolled a lot of Arkansas fans, and I think got our hopes up for no good reason.
For those who don't know what Pardon My Take, it's a Barstool Sports podcast. That's kind of a millennial thing that's been going around, making its way around the United States as of late. It's really up and coming.
It's a troll business.
You know, and it's, yeah, they have a lot of funny and good content, and then they have stuff that's troll, and that's why
troll business. Yeah. That's what, you know, it's an online troll business. It's a talk show, you know, with a bunch of troll stuff going on Twitter and their website.
But to bring up with Carl's point, like if you're Arkansas with the facilities you have, with just everything that encompasses within the Razorback football program, the fact that you're losing out, if this ends up becoming true, the fact that you would lose out on him to Missouri is embarrassing.
Like, but if you would feel the same way if you're Auburn, you'd feel the same way if you're Mississippi State.
To
anybody
Arkansas
in the SEC, to lose a player of Kelly Bryant's character or caliber to Missouri would be embarrassing.
You've been, Phil, you've been to that campus and you've been to that football stadium there and the facilities. There is nothing spectacular about it at all. So that just makes you wonder, how on earth could they like get a guy with a caliber like Kelly Bryant? Of all the schools he could go to in college football, if he ends up choosing Missouri, he winds up in Columbia, Missouri. Let's not kid ourselves, guys. It's not a premier program in college football. It's not. And that's
this is where Carl's frustration comes from. You can say he wouldn't have a problem to go into Auburn because it seems that you feel it's a better place for him to audition for the NFL because of the exposure. But why would you feel anger? Your voice changed. Your voice changed when you said Missouri. What is it about Missouri that would fire you up in a different way that Auburn does?
Well, Missouri, it's just like, you know, the whole battle line rivalry thing comes into play. They just mop the floor with us. Another point I think of why he's going to go to Mizzou is he would battle Fayetteville native quarterback Taylor Powell, which I hope Kelly Bryant could win that job. But it just angers me because I understand that Auburn, you know, they produce guys like Cam Newton, Stidham's about to go to the draft. I can't remember the only notable Mizzou player I can remember in the NFL is Jeremy Maclin, and that was – I don't know how long ago. And so
it's like 07.
Chase Daniels still stealing paychecks.
Exactly. With Razorbacks, I just think, you know, the relationships there with Morris, there's absolutely zero competition him coming in. He already has a good idea of the RPO offense. But at this point, he goes to Mizzou. It's kind of, like y'all said, a spat in the face to Arkansas fans.
Well, it's a good phone call, Carl. We really appreciate it. We'll do it again sometime. He makes an interesting point. The whole reason that Arkansas is included here, I don't think it has anything to do with Arkansas tradition. standing in the SEC, opportunities from the returners that are coming back next year or even the recruiting class. It all has to do with relationship. That's what this is about, and that's what you hear recruiting is always about when it comes to high schoolers making their decision or JUCO players making their decision on where to go to the next level. It's all about relationship, and it seems that the relationship that Chad Morris built with Kelly Bryant while he was recruiting him all those years ago is the main reason, the only reason, that Arkansas is in the running, because in all of these other places, it looks like he could step in, not even really have to worry about quarterback competition, step into a starting role and put his talents on display for the NFL. In the same league that Arkansas is in better positions to win next year, and it says a lot. I think you're right. It says a lot that Arkansas is even in the running, because it does say about Coach Morris's ability to connect, I think, with a player of this caliber all those years back and keep that connection running.
And relationships, unfortunately, can only go so far, Phil. You can only rely on a relationship or relationships to a certain extent. If you think about like a job you're applying for or something, and you might have a really good relationship with your prospective boss, but if the company's not solid, which the Arkansas team doesn't look to be on solid footing right now, it's hard to muster up the courage. It's hard to decide, I'm going to change things. I, as an entity, am going to come in and change this job status, or in Kelly Bryant's case, the football program. And that's what he's having to do. You think about it. You mentioned how important it is to be the Arkansas quarterback. You're the guy, not only in the city of Fayetteville, you're the guy in the state. Every college football fan in the state of Arkansas knows your name if you're starting at the U of A. That you can't say that about many other states across the board. That's just it, especially in the South, when there's not as many professional football teams. And you mentioned Missouri. You got St. Louis, Cardinals, Kansas City, the Chiefs. I mean, there's not – now, obviously, the sports people know who Kelly Bryant is if he goes to Missouri. But it's not like a casual sports fan will
Missouri,
know who he is.
Missouri football just doesn't
exactly.
register.
It's like,
doesn't register.
It's
there.
Probably fourth or fifth on the totem pole in Missouri, Phil.
Now, so, sure. And I found it really interesting. You could hear in Carl's voice – I think he's starting to buy into that battle line rivalry thing now. It sounds to me he's just getting sick of getting whipped every time that they get on the field. He would look at it as a recruiting loss too, and almost part of that rivalry.
Yeah, you think about what Beisel said, the linebacker for Mizzou, a couple years back when he's making fun of Arkansas. I mean, there's been times where they really try and they're throwing the rivalry at us and they're hoping it sticks, and there's been times it hasn't stick. But like, if something like this were to happen, if Kelly Bryant was to choose Mizzou over Arkansas, that's just going to add fuel to the fire. Now, I don't know how, if it's going to light a giant fire in this rivalry, that it's just going to be continuous, but that'll add a little more edge, and maybe it's good for the not the Arkansas football program, but the rivalry itself, Phil.
And let's even look at some of the games you'd end up playing. You know, but I mean, because part of this also, you know, we make fun of the battle line rivalry, but nobody ever says deciding on a school between Arkansas or anything else that they're joining because they want to be a part of that battle line rivalry. It's not a piece of the recruiting when you're going into the homes and saying this is one of our trophy games. They probably would push the boot a little bit more. But then, I mean, if you're recruiting for Auburn and Kelly Bryant's got a chance to play the Auburn-Georgia game, I mean, one of the great rivalries in college football. And, of course, the Iron Bowl. I mean, they're right there. You are on display for NFL scouts just because of the opponent. I guess it'd be the same. Because, you know, Arkansas is going to play against those same teams, but it's not the same. It just isn't the same.
Same
luster.
We
can talk about the traditions of Arkansas compared to Missouri and where their standing is in the sports world inside that state. Well, what about Arkansas versus even a place like Auburn, you know, in what really is now the breadbasket of college football there in Alabama? Auburn sure is second to Alabama, but they're also they're a peg higher than Arkansas is, just on the way things have been these last few years.
And what's also, I just thought about this as of now, scheduling kind of plays into effect too. Now, I don't know how high on the pecking order this is for Kelly Bryant, Phil, but if you look at the schedules from next year, he goes to Auburn, he gets Alabama and Georgia at home. that opportunity to play those caliber teams, you don't have to go on the road and play them. You get them to play them at home. Now, with Arkansas, you can say, oh, there's four cream buffs that I can look really good in those games in, but you also have to go to Alabama and to LSU. I don't know where that weighs in his mind, but that's definitely something he can consider, how the scheduling of the football team and just the overall talent, because that favors Auburn much more than it does Arkansas.
I mean, Brian would open, if you're quarterbacking Auburn, you open the season next year at AT&T Stadium against Oregon.
Yep. So you know, the high-profile games for Auburn next year, Phil.
Absolutely, and they always play high-profile mm-hmm. games. They just always do compared to the Razorbacks, where next season, I guess it depends on what it is you're looking for if you're Kelly Bryant. Do you want easier opponents in non-conference? Because if you're comparing schedules, Portland State, Colorado State, San Jose State, and Western Kentucky, without knowing too much about a lot of those programs, those are not going to be the big nationally televised non-conference games. They just won't be. Maybe you get an opportunity to put a better numbers, though.
Pad some stats, man. You got to think about that, too.
You can pad the stats, but, you know, NFL scouts are also going to go by what they see from their eyes.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's a fascinating conversation, and part of the thing about this is that I'm just excited that after all of this hype, because I'm a little bit anti-hype. I don't know if you picked up on that. But after all this hype
Gus
over the last
hater.
10 weeks, I'm just happy that this thing's going to come to an end.
Yeah, it's we said that the end of the season was over after the Missouri game, but is it really until recruiting's over? I mean, Arkansas fans have been so hinged on something good to hold on to that I feel like the season's not over for everyone until those recruits sign and until this Kelly Bryant saga is over.
I don't know. What I'm told is college football is one of those sports that never has an ending part of the season.
That's true.
It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, and 365 days out of the year, including 366 on leap year.
You're listening to the Halftime Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at PhilElsonPXP and at Ty Sports Radio.
Beard ahead to Gafford. How about a windmill? Let's put a little exclamation point on it. The Hogs are moving on.
Nikki Chapinel is joining us for our usual Tuesday talk. Nikki, so I guess you're kind of sick and tired of everybody asking what your sources say about Kelly Bryant's decision, because I'm sure you've only been asked this question about 3 million times in the last 10 weeks. So I guess we don't have to be asked that question any longer once today is over with.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we weren't going to hear anything until at least the day or night before. So I was just getting a little overwhelmed with all these questions, considering I didn't have any answers. But at this point, I think it's fair to say that my source is pretty accurate, and I don't think he'll be coming to Arkansas when he makes this decision tonight.
To me, it's all about where the best chance for him to put on a display for NFL scouts. And part of it is exposure in big games. Part of it is being fitting into a roster that's already built to maybe, you know, put up some points. And I hadn't felt that Arkansas is that space. The relationship with Chad Morris is the reason that they're in the running, but it just doesn't feel like it is the best fit, player-wise, for where you want to come. You got other teams that are ready-made to contend.
Yeah, I talked to the Rivals guy from Missouri, and when I talked to him, he was basically saying that they're returning all their critical pieces. And while Arkansas is getting some great freshman talent in the 2019 class, there's just no telling how good they're going to be right away and how much improved the offensive line will be. So if I was Kelly Bryant, I probably wouldn't pick Arkansas if I'm trying to showcase my talent, because you don't know how it's going to go and you don't know how beat up you're going to get.
Myron Cunningham is a big target for Arkansas. Do you think he chooses the Razorbacks?
So, from what I've heard, he's pretty much OU, Oklahoma bound. He had a great, great official visit there. He said it was one of the best times of his life, and maybe he'll have the same thing to say about Arkansas when he comes here. But from what I heard from the Rivals guys that cover Oklahoma, it was basically them, and it was up to Arkansas to change his mind, and he'll be here this weekend.
Okay, let's say they don't get Kelly Bryant tonight, and your source says that you don't think that's going to happen. I've got a pretty decent source that says the same thing, that he's not going to Arkansas. Looking at the quarterback position, Khalil Tate's possibly transferring. There's a couple other quarterbacks out there, grad transfers, JUCO transfers guys. Do you think Chad Morris goes after a JUCO or another grad transfer QB if he doesn't land Kelly tonight?
Yeah, I think they have to. If they want to improve the entire offense, they need someone who can pick up the playbook pretty quickly and just provide more weapons to the offense, and that means being able to run more and just be more accurate and consistent throwing the ball. The wide receivers coming in might be better at this, but we saw that the wide receivers on the team this year just couldn't create much separation and couldn't get balls that weren't thrown directly at them. And so I think you're going to need a more accurate guy. And I'm looking at all the guys available for grad transfer so far, and there's a bunch of rumors out there, but nothing concrete. I haven't heard anything about who exactly Arkansas might be targeting, except for one JUCO guy who told me that before Kelly Bryant came into the picture that they were going to offer him. And then once Kelly Bryant came into the picture, they told him they were going to wait and see what happens with him, which is kind of a very professional way to do it, telling him we need to explore this option, and if it doesn't work out, then we'll come back and talk some more.
Nikki, I saw where there's a newly updated Rivals 100 list that came out just a little bit before we started the show today. What's new inside the Rivals 100 that you've been able to pick up on?
Yeah, so the entire Rivals 250 will be released tomorrow, so we'll see just how far some of Arkansas's commits have dropped. But Hudson Henry, the number one tight end in the nation, dropped from 98 out of the top 100, and that surprised me quite a bit because in the history of Rivals, no top tight end has fallen outside of the 100. Some years there are three or four tight ends in the top 100, and this year there are none. So he'll still be the number one tight end in the nation, but it just surprised me to see how far he had fallen. And it's just a matter of he's from Arkansas and he didn't come into any camps, so he hasn't gotten as much exposure as some guys have in the past. And I like his film a lot, but highlights are highlights. So unless you watch the entire game, which is what analysts like to do to get a feel for the entire game, not just the highlights, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt like they can do with some kids they've seen even more than once in person. So it definitely hurt him. Plus, he plays against – when you watch his film, you can just see him absolutely demolishing these smaller kids, and I think that plays into it as well.
Nikki, he was really a non-factor in their state championship game. Do you think that had played any part of it?
No. From what I understand about the process, they've been doing the whole re-rankings thing for about 2 weeks now, so I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think that it's just more about the level of competition that he's playing against. Just in general, Arkansas gets not a whole lot of love as a state, talent-wise. So while he does look incredibly dominant against the talent in the state, they haven't been able to see him compete against some of the top players in the nation like we do see other guys get to do. Another example was Trey Knox, who did come and compete in our Rivals 100 five-star challenge a few months ago, and he dropped from number 53, and he'll be out of the 100 now. So for him, it was a matter of he played out of position his senior year, so just not a whole lot of new tape for them to evaluate. And when we did see him in the five-star challenge, he just didn't wow people to deserve that number 53 spot. I mean, to be a top 55, whatever, player, they think you're going to be a first or second-round draft pick in the future. So it's a lot riding on that. So they just didn't feel comfortable keeping him in the top 100.
Nikki, I saw something that you had tweeted last week, and I quote-tweeted it, retweeted, and I think I was a little bit lost in translation because you referred to a national unfollow day, which we need to have one of these, I think. It would be, you know, sort of like a good letting of the blood to have a national unfollow day for all of us on social media.
The purge.
That's right. It would be a great purge. But I did know that you were referring to the upcoming national signing day. So I just is that a day that you legitimately – because I know you do a lot of work on Twitter following all these prospects and all of these recruits. That's got to be a great day for your social media feed to get a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it's incredible how clogged your feed can get, especially with the way Twitter shows posts that people even like, not just retweets. So on National Signing Day, I like to go through my follows, read people's bios, usually kids add where they've committed, and if they're not committed to the school I'm covering, I just go, boop, unfollow. And it's definitely not personal. I use my Twitter. There's a little bit of personal stuff on my Twitter, but for the most part, it is a work tool, and so I don't need all those kids on my feed anymore. And it's a nice, relieving feeling.
Nikki, at one point yesterday, Netflix was deciding that they were going to take off Friends in 2019. Then they came back and responded, I saw you favorited my tweet. Would that have been the dumbest mistake for Netflix that they've ever made in the history of the company if they would have taken off Friends?
Well, personally, I happen to own a full season box set of Netflix, although I don't even think I have a DVD player anymore, so I guess that negates that. But no, I
love Friends. Who needs one of those things?
Friends and The Office, of course, are two shows that you got to have on there no matter what, just to put you in a good mood whenever you need it, you know?
Exactly. All right, so we gave you a little hard time about your Thanksgiving plate.
Time for guest gobbles.
All right, and we haven't really given Phil the list of bars and places he should avoid when he goes up to Fayetteville, just where all the college kids hang out and whatnot. But I want to know, you haven't been in Fayetteville too long. What has been your favorite place to go eat in the Northwest Arkansas area?
I mean, I really liked Ham and Trees. I've been there quite a few times. Whenever people come visit me here, I usually take them to get a grilled cheese, and I've had many different assortments at this point. I have also been to Sassy's, and they're really good. I like their ribs a lot. There's quite a good few, medium-end restaurants around here that I like a lot. Not a ton of high-end places.
We can't really afford high-end on journalism and writing and all that budget. That's part of our gigs, is not going to high-end places.
As evidenced by her first choice being grilled cheese. Although, hey, I'll say Ham and Trees is not your average grilled cheese, but when you gotta make something quick and gotta make something cheap, if you're not gonna throw some ramen going on, I think that the grilled cheese is the A number one. Good choice, Nikki.
Yeah.
Thanks as always for coming on.
Anytime, guys.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Halftime Podcast.
What's blood running through Daryl Macon's veins? The Razorbacks win it 71-70.
Tommy's wondering, are you coming to the Christmas party next Thursday? Are you making that, or did you have parent-teacher conferences? I feel like you told me you had something during that time.
No, it's next Thursday, the 13th, correct?
Correct.
I'll do my due diligence to try to show
what
up.
What does that mean?
The life of the party has got to make sure he's there,
it's
right?
It's at 11:45, and Tommy's made it very
11:45 in the afternoon?
Yes. Tommy's made
or in the morning?
Tommy's
that's
made it
not
very...
That's not a Christmas party. That's a Christmas muffin.
That's what John and I said. It's like, Tommy, if we're going to do it, let's do it at like 8 or something. He's like, no, we're doing it this time. So I was like, okay.
At 11:45 on a Thursday morning. I should just be happy I've joined an organization that has any sort of holiday party at all. Used to have one with the Travelers. Bill Valentine would put on this lavish Christmas party, and I mean that was a social event in and of itself. It's been a few years since I was invited to one of these things, so I shouldn't complain if it's 9 in the morning. I should just be happy that there's going to be something for me to do.
So last year when I was in Nashville, I got some peppermint moonshine that was incredible. It's Bird Dog. So, and I never had it before, and it was awesome. So that you don't want to drink more than like two glasses of that, or you'll be done. But yeah, it was the extent of my Christmas party was just getting that. And we talked, and my boss might have taken me out to lunch. Not trying to blast my boss, he was a homie. But this will be a little more interesting having this Christmas party. There'll be like 20 something of us up there with Harrison coming in and Hot Springs coming in. I don't know if it'll be the type of party you had with Bill Valentine, but I think it'll be pretty fun. So you should try to make it.
11:45 in the morning, it wouldn't be anything like I did with Bill Valentine.
When was that at? Like 9?
Nothing I did with Bill ever happened before 3 in the afternoon.
Why does that just have to be a rule that you can't drink before 12? Like, why is that a rule out
it
there?
Isn't. It's not a rule. My rule would be you can't drink before you go on the show, do a show.
Yes, I hope that we continue to follow that in accordance to our contract. We're not supposed to drink, but I will never drink a drop of alcohol before the show. Number one, because I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't have time. Number two,
you're too young to be that jaded in life to where you're drinking when you wake up.
Speaking of that,
you got a few years for that.
I was playing those Christmas Vacation clips as we went to break. Is that what fatherhood's going to be like? Like, my gosh. Is that what I have to look forward to in 10, 15 years? Just that whole aspect of fatherhood?
Is what? The
everything,
the gifts?
Everything encompassing that movie. Just everything about it.
It doesn't have to be. It all depends on how much pressure you put on yourself to show your kids a good time. Yeah. That's the problem with Clark Griswold. Yeah. I wouldn't tell him, though, to get off my lawn. That's usually what we do this time of the week on a Tuesday.
Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Old man, my ass.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
You're on Facebook, huh?
Well, I've been trying to figure it out. I joined about 10 minutes ago.
Better late than never.
Get off my lawn.
I make fun of some of the bowl games because the idea of that some of these are tradition. I mean, and, hey, look, Rose Bowl, sure, that's tradition. Orange Bowl, there's tradition involved there. Gator Bowl, I mean, going on for decades now. Fiesta Bowl, a lot of these are traditional games. But then there's a lot of the lower level bowl games that you just can't say that about. And although the message in the Cure Bowl of wanting to cure cancer is something we can all get behind. It's a little weird that you have to have a bowl game to get an in-state matchup of Tulane versus Louisiana. I guess I would expect that they would play each other inside the confines of the Pelican State, but that's not the case. They're going all the way to Orlando, Florida. You know, I would say if you're Tulane in Louisiana, play in New Orleans for a true destination city. But then again, most of those fans probably live in New Orleans or at least have gone there quite a bit. So heading all the way out to Mickey Mouse Land or any other parks that they'll have in Orlando, Tulane, Louisiana, Cure Bowl. Sounds like lots of fun on CBS Sports Network. Hey, it is the first bowl game of the season, but it's the first one to get off my lawn.
Speaking of CBS Sports Network, the Arkansas-Colorado State game will be televised there tomorrow night at 9. So I don't know if I'll be able to stay up and watch that game. Going to bed at like 11:15, 11:30 and having to wake up about 5 hours later does not sound too enticing to me, Phil.
I'd like to watch that game. I do get CBS Sports Network now. I got to say, you're a little worried about the team going on the road with the elevation factor in Fort Collins. You kind of wonder if that was part of the problem for the football team. That just looked a little bit tired if you're just talking about covering receivers in the second half. I think the elevation deal is a thing. I don't really think you can look past that. And the way that a team starts quite often is not the way a team will finish when they're in that thin air. And I know I think they should arrive sometime around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they'll have a little more than 24 hours for their bodies to acclimate to it, and I'm not quite sure if that's enough time for it not to have some sort of an impact on tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, traditionally the Nuggets and the Broncos and other teams within Colorado have pretty solid home records because when visiting teams come in, they're just not used to the air. They're not used to the pressure. They're not used to the elevation, and it's a big factor in a lot of games. So we'll see what happens in that game tomorrow night. So, Skip Bayless, longtime ESPNer, now with Fox Sports, has a show Undisputed with Shannon Sharp. I never get tired and never get annoyed with what he says. He's one of those guys out there that I think is very polarizing, very funny. I enjoy his content sometimes, not all the time. I was at a lecture at Vanderbilt University where I got to listen to him, and he told the entire lecture hall that he has never lost an argument ever in the history of his life, which is a spectacle in itself. But what he had to say about Tim Tebow last week, I'm gonna have to change your mind about this.
I definitely believe Tim Tebow could do at age 31 what he did in 2011 at age 24. And I'm going to say this one more time. 20, 30 years from now, some new NFL fans are going to look at what Tim Tebow pulled off for the 2011 Denver Broncos and sit back and think, that guy did that year and never got another chance to start another football game in the NFL? How can that be?
I love Tim Tebow. I am an unapologetic Tim Tebow fan. He deserves the majority of the adulation that he gets. That being said, Phil, Tim Tebow could not play quarterback in the NFL right now. Get off my lawn, Skip Bayless. There is no chance, there is no fathomable possibility of this ever happening. And no team would take a chance on him. The only reason people take a chance on him is it was to sell tickets. But from a pure football standpoint, this would be an idiotic move by any NFL franchise to go after Tim Tebow. Get off my lawn, Skip Bayless.
I thought this debate was over
years
ago.
And then he popped up and said this last week.
How did it even come up in conversation? It's not a 2018 topic. The topic in 2018 for Tim Tebow or his thoughts on SEC football and is he ever going to play Major League Baseball? Because that's what he's doing these days. I don't even think he's worried about whether or not he could play quarterback in 2018, nor is anybody else worried in this. That's a 2013 conversation. And I thought Skip Bayless was a little more up to date. How'd
obviously
that come
not.
Up?
Tim Tebow was quoted as saying that he still liked football or something. It was something like sort of had some relevance, Phil, but it wasn't worthy of a topic, of a conversation, of a segment. But when Skip sees anything Tim Tebow related, he hops on that sucker and rides that boat down the river.
I guess that would be the same as Colin Cowherd and Baker Mayfield.
Yep. Except he rides it the other way. He's paddling upstream.
But those are sort of, you know, it's like the opposite ends of the magnet that are just attracting each other and they can't do anything about it. It's a natural attraction. All right, you know, why do we implant in our kids' minds that someone is watching every move that they make during a specific time of the year inside their rooms or inside their house with this elf on a shelf thing? Which, you know, really was made to look like it's some sort of an old tradition, you know, that's going back years and years. But this thing really started, I think, about 14 years ago with a children's book and has now kind of blossomed, if you want to use that term, blossomed or just morphed itself into a cultural phenomenon that has actually been co-opted by those on my end of things. Because the Jewish elf on a shelf is the mensch on a bench, which takes the Yiddish term mensch of a good boy and turns it into a marketing scheme. And it, to me, it's just creepy. It's creepy to think that there's a wooden figure on a bookshelf that is watching every move that the kid makes inside that room, and that this shelf is teleporting those movements to Santa Claus in the North Pole. You know what this is actually called? This is Alexa. This is Amazon. This is exactly what they do too. We put those speakers and these video cameras on our shelf as well, and they're reporting exactly what you're doing to Santa Claus in the North Pole. But Santa Claus is called Amazon, and they know exactly what you're doing. So we're just letting too many things on our shelves to report to some unnatural being somewhere else exactly what we're doing at every minute, and it's creeping me out. Elf on a shelf, mensch on a bench, get off my shelf, get off my bench, and get off my freaking lawn.
So if you're a fan of Arkansas sports radio, you know who Rainey Rainwater is. He's a longtime sports
He's the godfather. He's the godfather.
He legitimately is. And I grew up in Little Rock, so I grew up listening to him and Rick Schaefer for so long. And they're two of the reasons I got into sports radio, because they were very impactful in my life. And so there's always trolls out there. Whatever business you're in, especially when it comes to sports, there's always those trolls out there that try and do mean things. They say mean things on social media. They send you emails, rotten emails. There's always going to be those people. Sometimes certain phrases, certain things used against you can be funny. You can take it the wrong way. Sometimes they go too far. The buzz down there in Little Rock has this fan feedback that they use. And every once in a while, some wiseacre puts in a name, and I'm not going to play it over the air, that's very inappropriate. And Rand, like Phil talked to me about this before the show, and I met Randy before. He is like the nicest guy ever. Like, there are guys out there in sports media, and I'm not telling you to criticize any of them. Well, I kind of am. You can criticize. Go after me if you're going to go after someone or Phil Elson at Phil Elson at PXP if you're going to criticize someone. But like, Randy's like just a good old dude. He's like awesome. So if you're going to like go after someone and make fun of them, don't go after him. Go after me. Go after Phil. Like, you know the Mike Gundy quote, "I'm a man, I'm 40. Well, he's like a sweet old man, and you just shouldn't go after him. He's a good dude. Like,
oh, he'll roll with a punch, yeah, too, like, because I mean, he's for anybody that's a sports host. I mean, I feel like I've got it made because we're mobile with our show, but I mean, Randy has like what a big city studio would be like in his attic, and it's nicer than the studios than I think any radio station in this state has inside their office.
Seriously. So for all those out there that are messing with Randy Rainwater, or not really any other host in the state, you can do that with anyone else, but for him, y'all can get off my lawn, because he is the golden egg of Arkansas sports radio, and y'all should just relax on that. So
he's untouchable for you, right?
Exactly.
Don't go after him, otherwise you're going to deal.
Come after me. I'm 23.
You're 23. You can deal with it.
Yeah, I got called for a douche for the first time. Like, I've been called many things over the course of my life, but like the douchiest person on sports radio, that's what someone referred to me as, which I don't think, like, if you actually met me, you can call me a lot of different bad names, but like douchiest is not the word you want to use. You can't use that with Randy. And for those who haven't seen what he repeated or what was read to him, go on social media and see it. I'm not going to play it for here because I don't want to.
It's very Ron Burgundy. Yeah, that's the thing.
It is.
That's exactly why they're doing
it. That's the best way to describe it.
I mean, hey, let's be honest here, too. I mean, some of the names that you are working with in sports, you got to wonder sometimes as to who named them, the reason why they named him that name.
Like ABCD, that girl that got mad the other day on
exactly.
Southwest,
like,
flight.
I'm getting ready for tonight's Arkansas-Tennessee Tech basketball game at Bud Walton Arena, and there's a gal on Tennessee Tech's team whose name is Peace Okeke, or OKK. And again, you never quite know if someone's name that comes across this live fan feedback, if it's a real name or it's not, and he's just reading it while he's saying it while he's reading it, and it's an unfortunate situation.
Let me put it to you this way.
The same thing may happen to you or me someday.
100%.
If we're lucky enough to be in sweet old man category in 30 years or so, and we're still doing this show.
I think about it like this. If Clifty or Lance or Rita or Dan or Tommy gave me a live read, like, I just read it. Mm-hmm. Like, it could say Ty is an absolute moron, and I would read it word for word. Because I'm reading what it's just so segmented into my brain that I'm trying to follow it and just read it. That's basically what he's doing. So don't do that. Get off my lawn if you guys are messing with Randy. Good grief, Randy Rainwater. Get off my lawn.
You know who I'm. This is not a guy who I would have off my lawn, but you almost feel like he was told to get off the media's lawn and the coach's lawn by not being amongst the final. Well, the players that were lauded as all SEC members, anybody forgot about Armon Watts, who and look, nobody on Arkansas deserved to be first team in the SEC. The coaches didn't pick anybody for Arkansas on the second team, and I think you can make a case for that for a lot of spots except for Armon Watts on the defensive line. Now, I know the media did go on the second team with Scooter Harris and Yalte Froholt They didn't make the coaches team, but you kind of wonder, I mean, what if you're Armon Watt, what did you have to do? I mean, he's eighth in the league in sacks. He was sixth in the league in forced fumbles, and he did that from a defensive line position. Eight sacks for the season for a guy who came out of nowhere and right now looks like someone that should be on some NFL teams' draft board. So for all of us, I think, in Arkansas that paid attention, again, looking for bright spots in a very dark season, it just seems very odd that Armon Watts was told to get off the lawn of the coaches and the people that cover the league.
Yeah, that's what happens when you play on a losing football team. Sometimes you get looked over, which is unfortunate. He should have been at least on the second team for the All-AP selection. Respect That Wood on Twitter just got at us, Phil. He said, people that drive fast cars but go under the speed limit, get off his lawn. So that's very true.
Hey, I'm all for that, too. I think that makes perfect sense. And there's a reason why the left lane is supposed to be the fast lane.
Yeah, left lane hammered down. Finally, my last one. So I got us food this morning. Tommy and John and I were all hungry at the same time. And this is like 7 a.m. So I go to Sonic, and I snag us. They both ordered breakfast burritos and Coke Zeros. John got some cheese tots. I got two chicken strip sandwiches, a double cheeseburger, and fries. And people were saying, well, like, why are you eating that at 7:30 in the morning? Look, Phil, food that's good is good any time of the day. Doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock in the morning. John was making fun of us the other day because we were eating deer chili at 7 a.m. He's like, that's why are you eating chili at 7 a.m.? I got news for y'all, folks. Anyone that thinks food, like there's certain categories and certain times that you can only eat in a certain food, I think you're just wrong. You can get off my lawn. Good food is good anytime, day or night. That's my last one. Close it out.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. You're listening to the Halftime Podcast.